The views and opinions expressed on the following show are those of the host and not necessarily those of Bigler Broadcasting or the staff and management of FM Talk 1065.
It's time for the George Williams Show on FM Talk 1065. George Williams, retired U.S. Marine Major, Vietnam veteran, retired federal agent, former vice chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, and world traveler, brings his wealth of information, sharing his thoughts on today's politics, and taking your calls and texts at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Good evening, everyone out there in radio land. I am George Williams, your host, and I'm so glad to be here. It's a cloudy evening, but it's nice. The temperature is nice, so we're so glad to be here. This is National Police Month, and to me, every month should be National Police Month. So we're going to start off the show by speaking with a person from Baldwin County whom I've known. He's a very good friend of mine. He is the sheriff, Horace Mack. And let me tell you, he's got one of the best sheriff's department I know in Alabama, but in these United States of America. So I'm glad to have him as my special guest, Sheriff Horace Mack. Sheriff, how you doing?
Doing great, George. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great. I was just over at my cousin's house, and she cooked some dinner over there for me. So I'm full of energy, full of food, and ready to go. Sheriff, so this is, National Police Month. I thought it would be great to have one of my close friends and one of the best law enforcement heads in the country, I know in the state. So tell us a little bit about what's going on. I know we were at a meeting, a Common Sense meeting, last week, and you gave us an overview. So that's what I would like for you to do to our listening audience tonight.
Well, sure. First of all, it's an honor to be on your show. I've been looking forward to this for a while. And as you mentioned, I guess I'll start, first of all, it is National Police Week, which was started many years ago and was reemphasized by President Ronald Reagan, probably one of the greatest Republican presidents that we've ever had. And President Reagan was one of the most recent presidents who recognized the importance of law enforcement. And so National Police Week is traditionally in the month of May, and it's a time when we not only recognize the service of law enforcement, but we recognize for the previous year and years, those who have paid the ultimate sacrifice by giving of their lives in the line of duty in law enforcement. In Baldwin County, we have had 10 law enforcement officers that have been killed in the line of duty, and that goes all the way back to 1893, mm-hmm. was the first deputy sheriff that was killed in the line of duty. We've had 4 deputy sheriffs, we've had 4 Alabama highway patrolmen and state troopers, and then we've had some municipal officers that have died in the line of duty. And we have a memorial that was actually built by Sheriff Johnson, my predecessor, mm-hmm. in Robertsdale. And every May, and this time it'll be Thursday, this Thursday upcoming, May the 13th, we will have the annual wreath-laying ceremony and the reading of those names, recognizing those 10 law enforcement officers who were killed in the line of duty in Baldwin County. So it's a way that not only that we remember those who made the ultimate sacrifice, but it reminds us of the oath and the pledge that law enforcement officers make, that they will put their lives behind others in the protection of their rights, and the protection of their security and their safety. So this is just a special week that we set aside each year to do that.
Great. Fantastic. And I really appreciate that, because I know in my law enforcement career, several of my colleagues who, when I was a local police officer and when I was a federal agent, who met the ultimate sacrifice, so I can understand. And I'll try to be there for that ceremony, so I think that's very important.
Yeah, it is at 10 o'clock. It's 10 o'clock Thursday morning, and that's located off of County Road 54 in Robertsdale. It's behind the Bratz Building, mm-hmm. and the public is invited to come out for the ceremony. And once again, we participate at the national level as well, but this is a way that we recognize those specifically here in Baldwin County. And why it's a humble and ceremony that we take a moment out, we're very proud that we're able to do it each year.
Great. Fantastic. Fantastic. Chef, in light of all of this, these bad things that are happening in our country, I mean, it's a terrible situation. To me, it's a terrible situation for police officers. How are you guys coping?
Well, you know, one thing, George, I always tell people, you know, one of the words that I've come to live by, particularly in Baldwin County, as we look at the issues that happen at the federal level, and that word is perspective. Mm-hmm. We are so blessed in Southern Alabama to have the support of the community for law enforcement that we do. And part of that is because law enforcement, particularly in our area, gets along very well. Mm-hmm. We get along very well with our federal agencies, our state agencies, our municipal and county partners. We are constantly meeting. We're sharing data. We're sharing information. You know, we participate in each other's social events and in fundraisers. And so we work incredibly well together. And I would describe it as kind of a quilt that has many woven patches, and mm-hmm. particularly in the quilt that we have in law enforcement in South Alabama, it's very tight. And so that's why we really enjoy a good situation here, but we have to always be mindful of what is going on the national level, because we are a very transient county with I-10 and I-65 and people coming through our area. A lot of new people every year, as you probably saw in the news this past week. We have now surpassed Montgomery County in our population. We are the fastest growing county in the state of Alabama. And so that presents a lot of challenges. So the way that we address the national issues and the national concerns at the local level is by our cooperation with our many law enforcement partners, is by continuing training. In fact, I myself attended 2.5 hours of training today just to be updated on some specific topics mm-hmm. and take care of things. And once again, we just stay very attuned to what's going on at the national level and try to make sure that we're doing everything we can to be as much as highly trained and be as transparent as we can in our day-to-day operations.
Right, right. And speaking of training, that is so important for our deputies and our officers, because I'm telling you, Chef, in my opinion, it's a lot different now than when I was in law enforcement, especially when I was out on the road. The attitude, everything is a lot different. It seems like now a policeman cannot do one thing without 50 cameras on him, he or her, and it's a tough situation for uniformed police.
Well, it is. I mean, you know, I think it primarily started in the 70s and 80s when a lot of police shows, you know, you and I remember probably the first police show that came on was either Dragnet or Adam 12, and it started that. But as the TV shows started to progress, more and more people started to learn about what really went on in law enforcement. And so there was this perceived reality what law enforcement should be, regardless of whether it was a small local agency or the largest federal agency. And then, of course, when we started getting into cell phone cameras and videos now and different things, a lot of what we do is immediately scrutinized as to the actions that we take. And as you know, once again, we always refer to you can look at a few seconds of what happens, but that does not tell the story. It's
Correct.
The totality
Correct.
Of the circumstances, what led to the situation, how the situation was handled. So law enforcement today is under more scrutiny, more observation than it ever has been.
Correct.
And that's not necessarily a bad thing, but it does present its own set of challenges as you try to explain to the public and deal with the public what is the reality of the situation versus what may be the perception.
Right. Sheriff, we're going to go into our first break. We only have about 10 seconds left. So can you stand by until after the break, and then we'll continue?
Absolutely.
All right, folks. George Williams, I'm your host here, and we're talking with Sheriff Horace Mack from Baldwin County, Alabama. We'll be right back after these messages.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
All right, folks, I'm George Williams, your host, and we are on a mission. Right now, we're on a mission with Sheriff Horace Mack from Baldwin County. And he was telling us, I was asking him early about the Common Sense campaign. He gave us a great overview of what they are doing in Baldwin County to keep up with the situations that is ongoing in America and Baldwin County. Go ahead, Sheriff.
Well, George, as we have talked about, one of the, I think I covered about 9 topics the other night that Dr. Liu had discussed with me prior to the meeting, and it was a good meeting. I appreciate organizations like the Common Sense Campaign who are willing to get involved, particularly in our local politics, and ask the tough questions. And some of the questions that were posed, one was about our drug issue. We've always referred to it as the war on drugs, and it still is a war on drugs, and particularly since we have seen this present administration relax the restrictions at the border. I-10 is a major drug corridor for the entire eastern part of the United States. Mm-hmm. And, of course, one of those is Interstate 10 that comes directly from all the way from California through Alabama. Mm-hmm. And we have seen an increase in the methamphetamine problem that is coming out of Central and South America. 5 to 10 years ago, the majority of methamphetamine was produced in kitchens using a home cook method, but now it's being produced across the border and being smuggled in. Because of the opiate crisis, we've also seen an increase in heroin. And there's many derivatives of heroin, both in the synthetic form and in some of the things that are attributed that they add to heroin, such as fentanyl and the different things. So these are two very dangerous drugs that we have seen an increase in Baldwin County. And we have been trying to address that issue. We have our narcotics task force, both at the state, local, and federal level that we're working with, and we're addressing those. The other issue that we were asked to talk a little bit about there was some of the extremist groups. We dealt a little bit with some of the protests back during the George Floyd initial incidents and everything. And once again, we were very fortunate that we only had one in Mobile and one in Baldwin County. Mm-hmm. The one in Baldwin County went relatively well. The Foley Police Department handled that along with the Sheriff's Office. And once again, we handled that by meeting with the people and talking to them and communication, which is so much of a key in that. Mm-hmm. And but we work with all of our federal and local partners on all the intelligence that we get. If one of these things does start to kind of crop up and kind of come on our radar, if you will, to try to get out in front of it and address it as quickly as we can.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree. I definitely agree. And what are some of the other things, Jeff?
Well, on the local level, we did have some legislation that was in the Alabama legislature that was specific to law enforcement this year, one of which that the sheriffs very much deal with, and that is a concealed carry permit. Mm-hmm. Alabama did pass a lifetime concealed carry permit bill this year. The governor has signed that into law. Mm-hmm. Once we kind of got through some of the details and the processes, the the overwhelming majority of the sheriffs actually supported that bill. Mm-hmm. We just wanted to make sure that we did it in a very consistent and open manner, and that, you know, we were that it was being handled in all 67 counties the same way. So that bill actually does not take effect until October of 2022. But as it does come into effect, residents of the state of Alabama will be able to apply for and obtain a lifetime concealed carry pistol permit. Mm-hmm. There are a couple qualifiers for that. They will have to have had a permit for 5 years mm-hmm. prior to the application for a lifetime permit, and then they can apply, and it'll be $300 if you're under the age of 60. Mm-hmm. If you're over the age of 60, it'll be $150. And probably one of the most significant changes under the current bill, if you are a retired military veteran, you can get a free lifetime concealed carry permit. Under the new legislation, once again, that doesn't take effect until October of 2022, mm-hmm. if you're just a military veteran, you don't have to be retired. Mm-hmm. But if you're a military veteran, then you can apply for a free lifetime concealed carry permit. So we're looking forward to that. We've got to work out some details and take care of some of those things. But once again, the lifetime concealed carry permit will take effect in October of 2022.
Great. So you're in favor of that?
Yes. I mean, we had to work out there's some provisions in the bill that where we had to make sure there's some people that just should not be able to get a concealed carry permit. And those are people, of course, and it's common sense, people that have been convicted of a violent felony,
right?
People that have been committed on a mental health commitment, people who have been found guilty of a domestic violence situation, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. things of that nature. And so, once again, it was about working out the details on how the communication would issue. In the past, the 67 counties have kind of been independent of one another in the way that they issued permits. And mm-hmm. I actually sat on the initial committee back in 2010 that started bringing all of the counties together to do it consistently the same way and share that communication. So it's taken a while, but we're getting there. And so that information is about public safety and making sure that everybody is protected while we still do that.
Okay. Great. I'm for it also. I believe that, if you've been a responsible person and, you qualify. Is there any qualifications in that, a yearly qualification or a first-time qualification?
No, other than just that you've had to have a permit. There are some states, for instance, in Florida, you actually have to complete a course before you're actually able to obtain your permit. Alabama does not require that, although we do encourage. I'm constantly asked by people, you know, the common questions you get is, one, should I carry a gun? Two, what kind of gun should I carry? And I always tell people, the Second Amendment gives everybody the right to keep and bear arms, and I'm a strong supporter of that. But there comes with that constitutional guarantee, there comes responsibility. Mm-hmm. And so if you're going to carry a gun, particularly if you're going to carry a gun on your person outside of your home, you really need to become familiar with that gun, familiar mm-hmm. with what it can and can't do, and train with it. I always tell people the worst thing you can ever do is go and buy a firearm for personal protection and then put it in the glove box or put it in the nightstand drawer and just leave it there. Everybody should practice with their weapon. They should obtain safety training with their weapon because, hopefully nobody would ever have to use that weapon in self-defense of themselves. But if they did, they should be able to do it in a competent and efficient manner.
Right. Now, Sheriff, also you said at the meeting, the common sense, about personnel, and you're constantly recruiting. How is that coming along?
It's going pretty well. Once again, we have the advantage of being Baldwin County, mm-hmm. A little bit different than some areas of our state. We do get a lot of regional interest and even some national interest in people that want to move to our great area. Mm-hmm. But what I foresee in on the horizon of law enforcement, and I think we have seen it some, is there are fewer people that are actually applying to come to work in law enforcement because of some of the national attitudes towards law enforcement. So they're asking the question, you know, is it worth it? Is this something that I really want to do? And once again, what I try to tell the people that are looking at our area, you know, we're not a San Francisco. We're not a Chicago. Mm-hmm. We are different here. We enjoy great support. Law enforcement is one of the most rewarding careers that anybody could ever go into if you have the desire to serve and help people. Mm-hmm. And if you're willing to get in it to those reasons, you can absolutely make a lifetime career out of it. But I think law enforcement's going to have to do a better job in the big picture in the coming years of recruitment and talking to people and educating them what the reality of law enforcement is versus what the perception of law enforcement is.
Right, right. Sheriff, we got about another half a minute. Can you stay able for one more segment, and we'd like to continue on what
yes,
you were
sir.
Doing?
Be glad
okay.
To.
All right. Now, I remember when I first joined law enforcement back in 1972 when I got off of active duty out of the Marine Corps, we were fortunate because President Nixon created what they call the LEAP program, Law Enforcement Education Assistant Program. And a lot of us who were local police officers took advantage of that, and then we were getting money from the VA. So we were having fun during that time, you know, and they created a dual track for us in college. Once you what they taught in the daytime, they taught it at night because we had shifts that we used to do. So that's how I got my education, and it was fantastic. All right.
Sure.
We'll be right back, Sheriff, with Sheriff Horace Mack, folks. This is George Williams' show, and stay tuned.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Folks, I am back again. We're here with Sheriff Horace Mack. Sheriff, you were talking about a few things, but I wanted to know specifically, what are you looking at this summer, okay, coming up, in light of all of this Antifa and Black Lives Matter, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah, and of course, George, in Baldwin County, we had the specific thing, COVID, and then, of course, Hurricane Sally was a devastating blow to our county. So what we're seeing, and you know, you can't go anywhere in Baldwin County anymore that traffic is not an issue. And so we were on a call the other day with our friend Herb Malone down at the Visitors Bureau in Gulf Shores in Orange Beach, and they're looking at record numbers already for this year on visitors to the Gulf Coast. And I believe people are just so hungry to get out and go to festivals and events and church and all those things. So we're seeing a lot of increased traffic in Baldwin County. Okay. I want to give a thank you to the Alabama Law Enforcement Agency, Director Hal Taylor. Mm. We have requested and have received some additional state troopers in our area, and that's going to help us out with some of our traffic issues. So we're looking at a very busy summer in Baldwin County. School will be out in less than 2 weeks, and we made it through spring break pretty good without any major incidences. But, you know, we're going to see large crowds this year. And so we ask the people to be patient. We have stepped up our increased patrols in certain areas this year. We were able by The county commission stepped up with some additional funding, and we have now established a beach patrol that primarily works our area on Fort Morgan Road, and we're going to have an increased presence there. And we're working with our area partners in law enforcement on addressing those issues. So it's going to be a busy summer in Baldwin County as we continue to bounce back from 2020.
All right. Fantastic. Fantastic, Chef. All right, Chef, we really appreciate you coming on. You know we're going to have you on again. And preceding you is Congressman Jerry Call. So I really appreciate you coming on. We're definitely going to have you on some more. Okay?
Well, we'd love to be here, and we just encourage people to go to the Sheriff's Office has a Facebook page. We also have a phone app that you can get for your iPhone or your smartphone. We can push out information on that. And so, and once again, anybody that is desiring anything, you can always call our main office in Baymanette at 251-937-0210, and we'll be glad to answer any of your questions and address any of the issues that you have.
Right. What's your internet?
Sheriffofbaldwin.com.
Okay.
You can go to that. And then, like I said, also we have our Facebook page and Twitter page.
All right. Great. All right, Chef Horse Mac, we really appreciate you coming on. We're going to have you on some more, okay?
All right. Y'all have a great evening, and thank you.
And thank you, Chef. All right, folks, our next guest, he's in Washington, D.C., and I'm sure he's taking a break off the House floor, Congressman Jerry Call. How you doing there, Congressman?
Hey, George, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. So nice to hear your voice.
I tell you what, I was just listening to Hoss Mac on there. Baldwin County is so blessed to have a sheriff like Hoss Mac, and Mobile County is blessed to have a sheriff like Sam Cochran. And Escambia County is blessed to have a sheriff. And we're just so blessed down there with law enforcement.
Right.
We don't need to take that for granted. We need to. We truly need to hold them up and hold them up in prayers.
Correct.
Especially.
Correct.
These are some hard times for law enforcement right now.
I know. I wouldn't want to be in uniform during this time. I can tell you that.
Thank God we've got people that can and will do it.
Right. I got you. I understand. You're in D.C. Are you guys still in session?
Yes. In fact, we just came back in today. I've been traveling. I was at the border last week in San Antonio and Yuma, and I got a look at the border and some of the problems or some of the opportunities, I'm going to say, today. I'm going to try to be a little more positive about it. But we're back in session. We had a vote tonight. Of course, tomorrow will be a full day.
Right.
So most of us are coming in.
Right. Now, tell us a little bit about your observation at the border, because I worked there for 3 years when I was stationed at our San Antonio, Albuquerque office, and we used to have to go down to the border to work there. I'm telling you, it's a lot different from when I was there.
George, I was blown away. First of all, where the wall, Trump's wall was built, they don't have any problems, but they have huge gaps where it was not finished, and the unfinished fencing is there. We have paid for it, and it's stacked up in piles. But there's 140 different countries, people from 140 different countries that are literally walking across the border claiming amnesty, and they're here. We were in Yuma, which was Friday. Thursday, before we got there, which was an average day, they had 400 cross in that one spot.
My God.
Those are the ones that were that they're literally walking across and expecting the American government to pick them up in a bus. They have shelters built for them so they can be out of the sun while they wait for the bus to come by and pick them up. It is the craziest thing I've ever witnessed in my life.
Unbelievable.
And the drugs that are crossing down there, and that's been one of my – that's what I've been screaming about is the drugs. It has just gone it's rampant.
I know.
We were at the San Diego. We witnessed 180 pounds of methamphetamine being cut out of a tank. They had almost 100 pounds of cocaine. This is over a 12-hour period. They'd already cleaned – the evidence room out once. So this is over a 12-hour period. It's 180 pounds of meth, 100 pounds of cocaine, a 12-hour period, and they would clean it out for the next 12-hour shift. So,
and
they figure they get maybe 2% that crosses the border there.
Right.
There is right. the key word.
If it's 2%, because there are a lot of areas out there where nobody's there except the drug traffickers, and they're sending them over in droves.
The coyotes and the mules. That you know, we've got all of our forces dealing with these families. There was a family there that was from Brazil. I got to talk to them briefly. There was a family there that was from Europe. I got to talk to them briefly in what little broken English that they had. A lot of Portuguese. There's a lot of Cubans,
right.
a lot of Venezuelans.
Right.
I mean, just you name it, every country's there. But as we're pouring all of our resources in to take care of this handful, the drugs are crossing at the border. And I'll give you an example, supply and demand. Right. It is the old tells you how the market is. In Mobile, a year ago, a gram of methamphetamine will cost you $200.
Right.
Today, you can buy it on the streets for $30.
That's right.
Because there's just so many drugs
on
the streets.
So much of it, yeah.
So, you know, we've got to, and I keep pleading for the president, the vice president, to do something. I mean, we can't just keep ignoring it.
And you know what? They don't want the citizens of America to know what's going on. That's why they tried to prevent you guys, even the media, from going down there. Because they don't want
they
you
limited
to
us
to
on
know.
Taking pictures. And I respected it. I didn't think it was necessary to take more pictures of children, you know, in the rooms and the families and all that. So I respected the rules. But most people, I mean, they had pallets of baby pacifiers. They had pallets of formula and diapers and just the children alone crossing there. The numbers are just right. out of this world.
Right.
And they're supposed to be, you know, they can buy a child to bring across with them.
Right.
So they can declare family status.
Yeah.
Or they can rent a child. It's literally, they can rent a child.
That's correct.
To come across, claim family status.
That's right.
And send the child back at a later time. The humanitarian need down there, I mean, and I tell this, and I'm very cautious, but think about this. We're standing there at the border, and I'm looking at the Mexican side of the fence, and there's just all this documentation, airline tickets, all this stuff thrown on the ground. In the morning after pill, too, there's tons of those there. So, you know, those girls had a rape the whole way through Mexico.
Right, right.
To get down there and right. wherever they're from.
Right.
Most of them, I never saw. I saw one that was from Mexico.
Right.
But most, all of them were from Brazil and Cuba and Latin American countries.
And guess what? The Mexicans are letting them cross. Into Mexico.
Yeah, well, it's
unbelievable.
It's what they're doing. With your law enforcement background, you can figure this out. If I live in Russia and I want to come into America, this is the way you do it.
This is the way you do it.
A round trip ticket to Cancun, Mexico.
Right.
When you get to Cancun, Mexico, the Mexican government gives you a travel visa within the country.
That's right.
Then you either jump another plane or you get a bus and
right.
you come to right at the border at San Antonio, fly in there. They had 1,200 Brazilians that were watching in a hotel in Acapulco, they knew that they were going to cross the border at some given time.
Right.
So you get that close to the border, and you literally walk across.
That's right.
There's nothing stopping you. When you get on the other side, you declare amnesty, and that's it.
Right.
They process you. They clean you up. They feed you. They find out where you want to go. They put you on a bus or put you on a plane and send
right.
you there. It's
yeah.
it's that simple.
Congressman,
ICE does not
Congressman,
exist
hold on.
They
hold,
have defunded
hold.
ICE.
Right. Hold on.
You
hold
can
on.
Explain to people the difference between Border Patrol and ICE much better than I can. But they've defunded ICE to a point that ICE doesn't even exist down the border.
And we'll talk about that as soon as we come back from this break. And I'll
okay.
agree.
Sure.
I agree with you 100%.
Thank you.
We'll be right back, folks, with Congressman Jerry Call.
Welcome. Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
All right. Before we continue with our guest, folks, I got a special announcement that I know I have to let you all know. The Norwood Republican Women's Club will meet tomorrow, which is May 12th at 2 p.m., okay? And that is at the Woodridge Baptist Church Fellowship Hall, 2700 Schillinger Road, Mobile, okay? So please try to attend that. I know several women who are going to be attending that, all right? Congressman, it's unbelievable. You've seen it for yourself. I was there for 3 years, but we had law enforcement at that time. But to hear the president say, tell our agents down there and our officers don't get involved with anything unless they're involved in a criminal activity. Well, just crossing the border is criminal, crossing the border. So what is your take on that, Congressman?
Well, you know, our law enforcement down there does as good of a job as they possibly can do with what they have to work with. Mm-hmm. I don't want anybody to think that law enforcement's not doing their job, mm-hmm. but they are so overran by people, all they can do is process them. Names, get what information they can, and they will show up with a strip of paper and have an address written on it. We, the taxpayers, send them to that address. If it's Milwaukee, for example, and his street address, we'll put them on a plane or put them on a bus, and we send them to that address. They'll claim they've got a friend or a family member there. Now, they're supposed to have a court date. They're supposed to report back. But that doesn't. We know that's not going to happen.
No, it will not.
And I mentioned this earlier when I was talking to someone. You know, law enforcement right now is under such scrutiny. I mean, between Black Lives Matter and Antifa and all these different groups that they're just all of a sudden wanting to hate law enforcement, you know, you can't lay down at night and expect your family to be protected without law enforcement.
Correct.
Period.
Correct.
So we need to respect these people. We need to hold them up and hold them up in prayers. We need to, any time we can defend them, defend them. I heard statistics today, 19 law enforcement officers have been killed in the line of duty in the U.S. so far this year in 2021.
Wow.
That's more than was killed all last year combined.
Wow.
So it is out of control. I'm telling you, some of these groups have got to be labeled terrorists. We have got to push back. We've got to take our streets back. And it's going to take Republicans and Democrats to do it.
Mm-hmm.
This is not just a Republican issue. This is an American issue. We have got to take our streets back. And we have to have law enforcement to do it.
Yeah, but Congressman, it is the Democrats who are talking about cutting back on law enforcement, the budgets and all that. And the Democrats have not said anything, not publicly, at least to my estimation, regarding the situation down there and all the other stuff that's going on that the Biden administration are doing. It's unbelievable.
But behind the scenes, they're telling their people not to talk about it, not to address it.
Wow.
Because it's hurting them horribly in the polls.
Wow.
The more we talk about it, the lower their numbers get. The lower their numbers get, the more of a chance we've got to take the House back over 2022.
Right.
I don't care about 2022. I'm worried about today.
Right.
I'm worried about the streets today. I'm worried about the borders today. Forget about 2022. I'm worried about today, this week, next week. This country is going to change, and we have to come together as Americans and push back on this. And and yes, we catch it up here, and you know we're Republicans, and you know we did this and we did that, and we got a lot of fur flying up here. But that's just politics. At the end of the day, when we get together in Mobile or Tucson, Arizona, or wherever we're at, we've got to be Americans when we get there. On a local basis, and we have to support that local leadership.
Right. Congressman, you said you did some voting today, and I know I've been looking at the Fox News. I don't look at the other ones, okay, Newsmax, regarding the situation with Liz Cheney. What are your thoughts on that?
That's probably going to take place tomorrow in a closed session, and it'll be a private vote. But you know, it'll be we'll vote among ourselves. I really don't see a way that Liz can get out of not being replaced. I really believe that she doesn't anymore have a desire to fill that position.
Okay.
And she's such a lovely person. My wife and I had dinner with her the other night. Mm-hmm. And she truly is. We had no politics. We just talked family and children and that type of stuff. She's a very pleasant person to be around, but it's just gotten to a point where it's poison between the leadership there, between Scalise and McCarthy and her, and it's just not a good working relationship. And if you don't have a team that works together, you've got to reinvent it. You know, it's just the way it is.
Right.
So I don't look for her to. I'll be embarrassed for her if she even shows up for the meeting tomorrow for the vote.
Okay.
If I know her well enough, she will though.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't foresee her being in that position this time tomorrow.
Wow.
But it has to happen. We got to move on.
We'll just
end it. Whatever we got to do, and let's move on and get business done. We can't sit around and fight with one another. We got more pressing issues.
Right, Congressman. What are some of the bills that the Democrats are introducing that you know should not be there regarding the activity?
Well, you know, we got the infrastructure bill that we're beginning to our infrastructure package. They're beginning to give us little pieces of it. So far, they've given us nothing, so we haven't got a good, clean look at it.
Right.
So we'll start getting a look at that and seeing what's actually in that bill. Talking about the House itself, not the Senate. The Senate's had it,
right?
But we'll get a look and start chipping away at that and see if we can clean it up. We've got one bill that really concerns me. It's actually Biden wants us to approve to turn all of our intellectual information on our vaccines over to the world. Just give it away.
Wow.
And that scares me to death because you're going to see China pop up and start making it, selling it. What Donald Trump did in putting these pharmaceutical companies in a position that they literally shut down all their technology and research and focused on nothing but COVID is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Warp speed project.
Mm-hmm.
No one else could do that but Donald Trump. So we, the taxpayers, paid for most of that. So what the Biden administration wants to do now is to give that information to the world, primarily to China, and let China produce it. And you're going to see that the Republicans say no, because we feel like it belongs to the pharmaceutical companies that actually came up with it.
Right.
They have got the resources to make it and ship it all over the world. So let us produce it and ship it around the world. Don't let China do it.
Right.
But you're going to see that's going to be a big fight. They're going to call us a lot of names.
Okay.
But at the end of the day, I just can't foresee it passing. But
right.
But Biden is just turning so much of this stuff, our technology, just taking it for granted between Russia and China. Well, you see what's going on with the gas pipeline.
Definitely. And I was going to talk about that.
I don't know any more than you know.
Right.
Everything I read points to Russia.
All right,
well,
Congressman.
That didn't happen overnight.
All right. So, we got to get out of here now. We only have a few seconds. I really appreciate you calling in, and maybe we'll have you on next week to finish what we were talking about, okay?
All right. Take care, my friend.
All right, Congressman Jerry Call from District Number 1 in South Alabama, Lower Alabama, L.A. Folks, time is up. We have to go. I have to go and get some gas here, and we'll be back next week, same time. Until then, Vicon Deus, everyone.